there's a lot of people that want to play but don't make it. It's not that they don't make it, it's they didn't try hard enough. They didn't figure it away or figure out a position that worked for them. I knew I couldn't be a quarterback at the Division I level. I wasn't big enough to be a lineman, but I, in sophomore year of high school, I went from being a third string athlete to saying.
What's up, everybody? This is Harsh from Cultivate.com, and you're listening to the Life Sciences 360 podcast. On this show, I chat with industry experts and thought leaders to learn about their stories, ideas, and insights, and how their role helps bring new therapies to patients. Thanks for joining us. Let's dive in. All right. Welcome to another episode. My guest today is Aaron Gold. He is a consultant speaker, and he helps organizations implement leadership strategies and overcoming adversity. He has an amazing story and amazing background, and we're going to dive into that today. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Thanks for having me.
I want to start off by asking you, I've gone through your profile. I have a lot of admiration for what you've been through, and the audience is going to hear about your story today. But I want to start off by asking you, when did you find out that, I know that from your story, you were legally blind and you played as a Division I athlete. You're also an ex-NFL free agent. But I want to start by asking you, when was the first moment that you found out that this is something you would have to live with?
Yeah, so I was born legally blind, and so I've known nothing different my whole life. And for me, what that means is I have no vision at all in my right eye, very limited in my left. I see through a tiny hole, and that small hole is my field of vision out of my left eye.
And for people who are listening in, because this was an interesting discovery for me when I was searching the term legally blind, and then there's a lot of definitions, and can you just give the audience like a two-line difference between legally blind and totally blind? Because they're sort of confusing.
Yeah, I mean, totally blind would be no vision. I have a little bit of vision. It's not like it's very good vision, but my right eye is totally blind, and my left eye is, legally blind because I see through a tiny hole, and so that's my field of vision.
Right, and it was like, I read something, it was like, normal vision is 20/20 and legally blind is 20/200 or something like that.
Yeah. So out of that hole, my vision is like about 20/200 or 20/300. Yeah.
Okay. So walk me through this, right? There is tons of, athletes who have different, circumstances. Some athletes, they try out their entire, while they're in school, while they're in a college, and due to whatever reasons, due to health or, they have some kind of, they're not good at the sport or whatever challenges they have, they don't end up getting into sports, even though that they're passionate about. But in your case, despite of, being legally blind and the first, if I'm correct, the first athlete who played in the, Division I athlete. So walk me through how your experience playing that sport translated into everything else that you're doing in your life.
Yeah. So, for me, I started off in high school. I was a third string university athlete my sophomore year of high school. I was never playing, never touching the field, and I just was sick of it. I also don't believe that, just because you said before, there's a lot of people that, want to play but don't make it. It's not that they don't make it, it's they didn't try hard enough. They didn't figure it away or figure out a position that worked for them. I knew I couldn't be a quarterback at the Division I level. I wasn't big enough to be a lineman. But I, in sophomore year of high school, I went from being a third string athlete to saying, I'm going to find a way to play at a high level. I found the position long snapping. I realized if I got really good at it, there might be a shot. And so every day for the rest of high school, I would wake up at 5 a.m., go practice long snapping. I would go to school, go to practice with my team, lift weights every single evening. And, I did the things that nobody else is willing to do. And if you're doing the things that nobody else is willing to do, you'll get results that no one else is able to get. But that was how I was able to, get a spot at Tulane and eventually, become, like you said, the first legally blind Division I athlete to play in a game.
Yeah. And so that's more of, your work ethic, let's just put it that way,
yeah.
Which you said, some people, it's not that they didn't try hard, they just didn't have the work ethic. But walk me through the mental preparation that goes in, right? Because you're going into a game or you're playing the sport and, you have this adversity that you're playing with it, right? So walk me through mentally, how did you shut that out from your brain saying, this is not a weakness, I'm still going to play strong and I'm going to still play just like a normal person?
Yeah, look, you can control what you can control. You can't control what you can't control. I can never control the fact that I'm legally blind. What I can control is how I show up and what I do every single day. And so I understood early on that there's nothing I could do about my vision. What I could do is control how I played every single down, how I played every single rep. And so that was about putting in 100% effort despite the limitations I have. I understood I had to work differently than other people. I had to work harder than other people. I had to work smarter than other people. I had to do things that other people weren't doing because I had to compensate for my limitation. And so I understood on a day-to-day basis that for me, I couldn't show up, 50% to a workout or to a practice ever because, I was already behind. I had to show up better than everybody else every single day if I wanted to be able to compete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's again, I can't really, I've never played sports at that level, so I'm not able to comprehend what actually goes in. But, it's a great opportunity to talk to somebody like you that can, take us behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So then you transition from sports into a career in finance. So how did that happen?
Yeah, so I studied finance in school. And so when I graduated college, I wanted to go into the world of finance. And so that's, what I did. At the same time, I was also doing speaking. I'd always been asked to do a bunch when I was in school from my coaches and whenever we had certain events or things like that. And so when I graduated, went both into finance and, started speaking as more of a, business and doing it for, low fee type engagements right off the bat. And I was doing both of those side by side for a while. And as my speaking grew, my, interest in finance kind of declined. And so eventually I got to the point where, I was able to be making enough for my speaking. It was growing and being a significant part that I left finance. And then when I did that, speaking exploded. And then today I, do that. I run two businesses now. So the one business is I do speaking, consulting with companies, with teams, with, conferences, schools all over the world. So they're either bring me in to do a speaking engagement for an event, do more workshops, do longer term consulting. And then I also run another business where, me and my team help grow and scale speaking businesses for other speakers. So do the same exact marketing, lead gen sales that we did for myself and implement those systems into other businesses. So those are the two businesses I run today, and it's a lot of fun.
That's a great story. So it sounds like you got your job into finance after you graduated because that's what you went to school, you studied for, but then you found this passion for speaking, found this passion for sharing your story, your life journey, and possibly inspiring, different, like you said, different types of people, starting from schools and kids and to organizations and businesses. So that's amazing, right? Because there are not that many people who lived the life that you lived. So it's a great thing you're doing, sharing your journey and possibly inspiring others in different ways that I'm sure people have told you that, after your events. So do you remember a memorable thing that somebody told you after one of your speaking events that really touched or hit the right spot for you?
I wouldn't necessarily say one specific thing. I think it's, there's always different people who come up to me after and talk, they've related to it for some reason. Maybe they have some sort of disability themselves. Maybe their child does, maybe their friend does. And they just relate to it and it gives them a whole different perspective. And so that happens all the time. I mean, most times when I speak, someone comes up to me because, most people, whether it's themselves, a family member, a friend, like they know someone with some sort of disability, somehow related to them. And so most times people do come up to me and comment on that and say, what that's made them think about or what that's made them perceive now. And so it happens all the time. And so those are always really cool and rewarding conversations to have.
Yeah, it's, again, it's an amazing thing that you're doing that. I want to switch gears and go into your consulting expertise and what you're doing with companies. So I can imagine you're working with different companies, leadership level, and, helping them.
So a lot of times the speaking engagements or workshops that a company brings me or my team into will then turn into longer-term agreements with them. And so they might bring me in to talk on something like overcoming adversity or leadership or, the disability side of things. And that's great, and we work with them, but then it can turn into, helping them build out their leadership development, strategies and program for their organization, or turn into, how they can actually work and allow people with different disabilities to succeed and change their different practices, how they can think differently about disabilities and things of that nature within the organization as a whole. And so a lot of times, not every time, because it depends on the type of organization I work with, but a handful of times it turns into, it starts with a feature workshop, turns into a longer-term arrangement, and work with these companies or these organizations for a longer-term basis.
And that's, you know, that's kind of pretty much like a lot of the consulting paths. Like you're doing the speaking engagement, so that's basically like a snapshot of your story and what you can offer. And then as you mentioned, clients are reaching out to you for longer term engagements. The thing with working, you know, in an organization is there's so many factors that come into play, right? Like even if you're a single like leader or a small leadership team of 3 to 5 people, and you know, depending on the size of the company, where you're located, what market, there's a lot of factors that are out of your control. So I want to ask you, when you are coaching leaders or working with them on a long-term basis, what are some of the qualities that you want to, you know, after you're done working with them, you want to have that leader, you want to have them those qualities? Can you come up with 2 or 3 that you want to leave them with?
So before I answer that, I'll kind of take a step back and say, like, look, like you said, every organization is different. And so the first step when I work with a company in any capacity, whether it be a longer-term engagement, whether it be just a speech or workshop, I do, and my team does what we call a needs assessment. And what that is sitting down, having a conversation with them and learning about what does the culture look like, what's the environment, what are the challenges they have going on, what are the goals that they have, and really get a deep understanding. Because I'm a strong believer that as a speaker, as a consultant, whoever, yeah, you can do the same speech or the same thing with companies and it'll help, but it won't make a true impact or difference unless you really understand the ins and outs of the organization. And so doing that's really important. And so obviously some of those traits and some of those things can change from, you know, time to time. But for example, on like, I'll stick to the leadership side because you were focusing on that. But I think some of the, you know, commonalities are, you know, how they can navigate difficult situations, how they can, you know, be more empathetic, how they can, you know, communicate and in a better level. On the disability side, oftentimes it's, you know, how they can help and work with people with different disabilities so they can allow them to succeed, how they can adjust their, you know, hiring practices, or how they can, you know, find and source different talent. And so there's different things depending on what those kind of needs assessments tell us, but it's all, there are definitely commonalities.
And have you worked, so all the examples you gave are great, but I think 90% of them are focused to what's happening within the organization. And I just wanted to ask you or know from you, have you worked with any leader or company where some leader was going through adversity in their personal life, right? Because work is one part, but you know, we're all humans. We have personal lives, you know, kids, spouses, parents, whatnot. Have you ever worked with a leader that was going through adversity in their personal life, but it was impacting their work? And how did you help them cope up with that?
Yeah, I mean, there's two sides to it, because on the first side, look, we all go through different adversities. So making sure that you can understand and you have those skill sets to get through them on a day-to-day level, whether it's in the business or outside of the business, are really important. Making sure that you can create those clear plans to get through any challenges that come your way, making sure that you have the communication skills and to work through them, and just really listening and understanding those situations to help them come up with those unique plans. At the same time, I'm a strong believer of, and I say this in a nice way, I don't want this to get taken out of context, but nobody cares what's happening in your life. At the end of the day, business is business. And it's the same thing with my business every day. Nobody cares. No one in the world cares if I had a crappy day yesterday or a crappy morning today. The only thing that people care about is, do I do what I promised I would do? And at the end of the day, if I don't show up and do what I said I was going to do, I get fired by clients, people get mad at me, that type of stuff. And so at the end of the day, you might have challenging situations and we can work through that and I can help you with those same things. At the end of the day, like, you need to show up and do what you said you were going to do regardless of the situations in your life. And that's what makes a leader successful, is if they can block out those things that are going on and, you know, get done what needs to get done.
Hey. Yeah, that's a great point, because regardless of whether you're working in a company or you're self-employed or you have other responsibilities in life, you don't get, you don't get a break, right? You can take a break, but life goes on. So you've quickly got to flip the page, whether it's, like I said, whether it's your job or a business or whatever it is, everyone goes through that. And it's hard. It's hard because it sounds easy for me to say or for you to say, but obviously whoever is going through that, you know, they're probably going to be rubbed off the wrong way and say, oh yeah, it's easy for you to tell me that, but you haven't gone through the same. So, but I get your point. You know, at some point you have to flip the page and understand that it wasn't in your control, but you have to move on. And what advice do you want to live? You know, when you're talking to people, you said you were talking to kids in schools and other. So do you often tailor your advice based on like, okay, today you're talking to a 500 person company, but next week you might be talking at a school. So I want to understand, like, do you tailor your message? How do you go about that? Like, what advice would you give to like a 10-year-old versus a CEO of a company?
Oftentimes the messages are the same or similar, but it's the way that you deliver it. It's the way the activities that you do throughout, the way that you structure things, the tones that you use, the words and verbiage that you use. So there are differences, but there's different themes, you know, oftentimes, and this is, I feel like one of the biggest ones is look, it's about finding gratitude within the situation you're in. You know, too many people think that things happen to them and not for them. And I say all the time, I'm so thankful, grateful, I'm legally blind, because it's allowed me to be the person I am today, create the businesses that I run and have the relationships that I have. And so because of that, I'm grateful. And it might be hard to find gratitude within the challenge that you face, but if you can find a little bit of gratitude, your life becomes better and you become more successful, happier, healthier.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's there's nothing much you can do about, you know, being limited by circumstances or facing adversity, but looking at it from a positive angle, yeah, that's definitely a great response. Yeah, it's been amazing, you know, talking to you. I'm so glad that you decided to come on the show. Before we wrap this up, what's your goal for the future? What do you want? You know, obviously you're inspiring and leading companies and helping leaders in companies and sharing your story both with this, you know, kids in school, sports and whatnot. But what do you want people to remember you once you stop doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I think just being able to everything that I have every day. You know, I think to think of me as, you know, I went out there and laid everything on the line and had zero regrets, you know, whether it be in my speaking, whether it be in the consulting, whether it be in the other business that I run, you know, it's doing everything I can every day to, you know, help others, you know, do better within their lives. And that's different across companies, across things that we do, but it's being able to really just focus and help other people succeed.
Hey. And before we drop off, do you want to share how people can get in touch with you if they want to work with you or invite you as a speaker?
Yeah, so my website is aarongolub.com and my email is aaron@aarongolub.com. Feel free to, you know, reach out. I'm always happy to chat.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. Yeah. It was really a pleasure talking to you and wish you much success with all your projects.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You too.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out the show notes in the description for a full episode summary with all the important links. Share this with a friend on social media and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.